Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm pleased that H.R. 2959 is included in the measure before us today. This will permanently authorize the VA's Parkinson's Disease Research, Education, and Clinical Centers. Some 42,000 veterans with Parkinson's disease receive care at the VA. In 5 years, an estimated 39,000 older veterans will have this disorder. Treatments exist for Parkinson's, but medical research continues to improve treatments on the way to a cure. VA is not only on the cutting edge of research and training because of these centers, it's a landmark study involving deep brain stimulation. This legislation has supported the American Legion, the DAV, and the Parkinson advocacy groups. I'm disappointed that the amendment doesn't authorize their research into other areas, but authorizing the Parkinson's Center will make sure that the VA will continue to be a model of innovation in the delivery of health care and research for this chronic disease. The bill offers hope to veterans and others who have Parkinson's disease. I urge my colleagues to support this amendment and the underlying resolution. And thank you.
I'd like to thank Mr. Evans for his initiative and his work product. By agreement with Mr. Evans, an amendment is before the members, and I ask unanimous consent that the text of the amendment, the nature of a substitute to H.R. 1220, be considered as the original text of the bill. Without objection, so ordered. Briefly, the amendment has four sections. Section 1, the bill's title. Section 2 to 4, would authorize the compensation cost of living adjustment for fiscal year 2006, publication of the adjusted compensation rates, and the codification of the actual dollar amounts of the COLA enacted for the current fiscal year. Section 5 would authorize a demonstration project to improve business practices and processes of the Veterans Health Administration. And Section 6 would authorize the Parkinson's Disease Research, Education, and Clinical Centers. I now recognize the Chairman of the Disability Assistance and Memorial Affairs Subcommittee, Mr. Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On June 9th, our subcommittee favorably reported H.R. 1220 to the full committee by unanimous voice vote. Section 2 of the amendment under consideration would, in fact, provide a cost of living adjustment in the same amount as the Social Security recipients get to disabled veterans and their surviving spouses. All veterans who receive disability compensation and qualified survivors of veterans would receive a full COLA beginning on the 1st of December of this year. Section 4 would codify the current amounts of disability compensation and dependency and indemnity compensation. You know, more than 2.6 million veterans are receiving service-connected disability compensation. These benefits range from a monthly $108 for a 10% disability to $2,299 for 100% disability. Additional monetary benefits are available for our most severely disabled veterans as well as those with dependents. Spouses of veterans who died on active duty or as a result of service-connected disabilities likewise are entitled to a monetary compensation. Additional amounts are paid to survivors who are housebound or in need of aid or attendance or have minor children. Currently, more than 336,000 surviving spouses and children are receiving those survivor benefits. Congress has provided increases in these rates for every fiscal year since 1976. The administration's fiscal year 2006 budget projects a 2.3% increase, but it could be higher or lower depending on changes in the consumer price index. The exact percentage will be calculated as of the 30th of September 2005. I want to thank the subcommittee's ranking member, Ms. Berkeley, for her work on these two sections and urge the committee to support the amendment.
Point of information, Mr. Chairman.
Does the gentleman yield back?
Yes.
Point of information for the chairman?
Point of information. Well, if there is such a thing, but I'll
there is.
I'll pause here for you.
The chairman didn't, I don't think, unless I was, talk about Section 5. Did you summarize?
He was speaking on Sections 2 through 4 of the amendment, the nature of a substitute.
So okay, someone else will do 5. Mr.
Ms. Berkeley, ranking member of the Disability Assistance Memorial Affairs, will give remarks in sections 2 through 4 of the amendment, the nature of a substitute. Ms. Berkeley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would also like to thank the chairman of the subcommittee, Mr. Miller. It's been a pleasure working with him. Section 2 of the bill, as amended, will provide a cost of living increase for service-connected compensation benefits paid to disabled veterans and dependency and indemnity compensation benefits paid to survivors of deceased veterans for calendar year 2006. As in previous years, the increase will be indexed to the percentage received by Social Security recipients. The amount of the increase will not be known until about the middle of October, when the Social Security increase is calculated. This provision will ensure that the value of the benefits received by our disabled vets and the families of deceased veterans does not erode due to the simple passage of time and increases in the cost of living. Section 3 of the bill, as amended, requires publication of the rates for 2006 in the Federal Register. Section 4 of the bill, as amended, codifies the rates of payment for service-connected compensation and DIC, which were established for 2005 under Public Law 108-363. And thank you very much for your willingness to support this important legislation.
I'd like to thank Mr. Miller and Ms. Berkley for your work on the bill. I now recognize the chairman of the Oversight and Investigation Subcommittee, Mr. Bilirakis, to explain Section 5 of the amendment and the nature of substitute. Mr. Bilirakis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As to Section 5, earlier this week, starting a few days ago, last week, the week before that, the Oversight and Investigation Subcommittee earlier this week marked up H.R. 2988, which we call the Veterans Medical Care Revenue Enhancement Act of 2005. At that subcommittee markup, some concerns were expressed about the legislation. Indeed, as everybody knows, the minority and the majority, I had my own reservations about the initial draft of the legislation and slowed it up very particularly for those reasons. Let me remind my colleagues right at the outset here, and I will also finish it up with the same statement. But we're talking about a demonstration project that has already been included in H.R. 2528, the fiscal year 2006 Military Quality of Life Veterans Affairs Appropriation Act. It was a case, obviously, the appropriators authorizing. And they authorized this project in the bill, and they have put the dollars in the bill. So what we're trying to do today, so it's something that's already in the law. We all voted for it. There isn't a single member of this committee we voted for that appropriation bill, which included that language in it. So what we're trying to do today is to exercise our rights as the authorizing committee. In addition to exercising our rights under the authorizing committee, to give the VA greater guidance on how the demonstration project should be conducted and to ensure significant congressional oversight of the project. Otherwise, we're not at the table. And that's ridiculous. This is our thing. And it should be our thing. Now, to continue on, I am pleased that the majority and minority staffs were able to get together to resolve these concerns so that H.R. 2988 could be incorporated as it is today into H.R. 1220. I believe the revised language incorporated in H.R. 1220 is a much improved legislative proposal. The Department of Veterans Affairs Medical Care Collections Fund, more commonly called MCCF, was established by the Balanced Budget Act of 1997. The department deposits first-party and pharmacy co-payments, third-party insurance payments, enhanced-use collections, long-term care co-payments, compensated work therapy program collections, compensation and pension living expenses program collections, and parking program fees in the MCCF. The H.R. 1220, as amended, authorizes a two-year demonstration project for improvement of business practices in the Veterans Health Administration, including those relating to the standardization and coordination of activities related to billing, the re-engineering of billing and accounts receivable, and the establishment of a comprehensive database for third-party payer information. Now, we are all satisfied, I believe, that that third-party collection is just not going adequately enough. Has it been improved? Obviously, it has. But the fact of the matter is it's not there where it should be. The legislation requires a demonstration program to be implemented at two VHA facilities within the same VISN, Veterans Service Integrated Network. The secretary would select the sites for the demonstration project. The implementation of this project would provide a comprehensive, we trust, restructuring of the complete revenue improvement cycle. It would be achieved through the execution of a performance-based contract with a vendor that has demonstrated extensive success in substantially reducing accounts receivable, increasing cash flow, reducing operating expenses, and significantly improving revenue collections. And the legislation also stipulates that there is to be, and we are very careful about this, a minority to their credit was very much concerned about this. We worked hard on this, thanks mostly to minority staff, Lynn, and our staff. The legislation also stipulates that there is to be no loss of active full-time employment equivalent attributable to the demonstration project at the facilities at which the project is conducted. In addition, the department would be required to initiate this demonstration project within 120 days after the enactment of this bill and provide recurring pre- and post-contract award progress reports to ensure this project is well managed, stays on track with milestone accomplishments, and does not exceed the $10 million appropriations cap for the administration of the project. So again, I would repeat, I had concerns initially. I wondered why we were doing this at this particular point in time. Then we see that the Appropriations Committee had already done any appropriation bill that we all voted for. And so, you know, but the feeling is very strongly that we're the authorizing committee and we should take hold of this and be at the table, but additionally improve upon it, tighten it up, which is we specifically asked the staff to do, to make sure that this thing is going to stay on path. And it is performance-based, I might add, not a fixed-cost contract or anything of that nature. So that's what we're trying to do, Mr. Chairman, and I would ask, in the process of supporting the entire bill, that this be a part of it.
Without objection. Gentlemen, yield back this time?
I would yield back.
Mr. Chairman, would the chairman yield for a point of clarification on the chairman's statement?
On the chairman's statement. Chairman is Chairman.
Chairman Belarakis.
I would prefer
just a point of personal privilege.
To my colleagues, I'd prefer for regular order and allow the ranking member to speak, and there will be an opportunity.
But the chairman made a statement.
The members
made a statement which is not true regarding me.
I would prefer regular order.
Well, I'm asked for a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman doesn't deserve a point of personal privilege.
Let's regular order.
He referred to all the members of this committee, and it was not true what he said.
Let us proceed with regular order, and the chair will now recognize Mr. Strickland, the ranking member, for comments he may have on Section 5 of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm pleased the full committee is reviewing a bill reported and approved by the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigation. It is a milestone, or perhaps a rite of passage. Unfortunately, our side of the aisle really withheld our support and approval of this bill initially, feeling that it was flawed as it was initially presented. Mr. Belarakis, I want to say I personally appreciate your leadership and the fact that you offered us an opportunity to work in a way that I think significantly improved the bill, and I thank you for that. It appears that the staff went into high gear over the last few hours and together produced a bill with language that will provide a fair and meaningful assessment of performance across the entire revenue collection cycle for MCCF. As related to third-party collections. I'm also aware that there is need for further clarification to be included in the report language of this bill. And with the chairman's permission, I would like to yield a moment to our staff to share with us just three concerns that we have regarding desired report language.
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The original bill differed from the current bill in that it focused predominantly on one part or segment of the MCCF cycle, and we were concerned that that may create ambiguities or unintended consequences. The major problems are certainly dispensed with in the bill. It seems to be fairly smooth. Site selection, however, is one thing that we may want to elaborate on in report language. There's an agreement that the sites selected should be different from the site used for another demonstration project referred to as the host venue of the Patient Financial Services System. This system is building up for deployment, and its task is to elucidate some VA business processes related to third-party collections as a precursor to developing an integrated and automated financial system for VHA linking the current VISTA system with IDX Flowcasts. We seem to be in agreement that this demonstration project should not overlay or be in the vision that's host to the Patient Financial Services System, because in our opinion it would tend to duplicate or review the same sets of processes that were inherent in that region. And for that reason, we are requesting language that would assure geographic separation between whatever this demonstration project is, the venue for the demonstration project, and VISN 10, which is predominantly the state of Ohio. It is probably best suited from a management performance management standpoint if you get some distance away from VISN 10 culturally to see how other portions of the VA perhaps do their business process. The second issue is one that we have heard many times at the subcommittee, Mr. Boyer, and that concerns how we measure the performance of the MCCF cycle. We still do not understand the universe of possible collections. So we have no denominator for calculating the performance or the effectiveness of any segment of the MCCF process. We can only rely on previous performance and rate improvements or movement towards poorer performance based on that. At some point in time, if we're going to have a meaningful performance measurement system, we need to determine what the possible array and possible universe of potential revenues are from this cycle. And we're still some distance from doing that, and perhaps our report language should suggest that.
We have no objections on points 1 and 2. We're in agreement.
Thank you.
Third?
Mr. Strickland has expressed concerns about terminating VA employees as a result of this project. As such, Art and I have agreed to, and the language seems to be before you now, that no active people will be discharged from the VA for this demonstration project.
Is it not in the bill?
It is in the bill. However, we have to clarify a point that Mr. Bilirakis correctly raises concerning poor performers. If there's a poor performer in the VA, we want the VA to have the ability to discharge this person, notwithstanding the project. However, the language we want states that they'll use Title V and existing labor management agreements for VA employees and will replace the vacated FTE as expeditiously as possible. That's item 3. And finally, sir, item 4, which we are more than willing to do as a dissenting opinion. Some demonstration projects, when they fail, have nowhere to go. There's no cleanup provision in the demonstration project language. We have embarked on HR Links, we've embarked on Core FLS, and these systems have failed, and we're left holding an empty bag and someone has to clean up the trash. I think if you would like to join us, I think we would be pleased for that to happen. But we would like to comment in the report language some provision for cleanup just in case this demonstration project fails. Thank you, sir.
Well, the committee's heard the concerns, and I'd like to ask the chairman if these are concerns that he concurs with and would support.
I have no objections on points 1 and 2. I don't know enough about 3. I thought we were comfortable in the protections with regard to what is in the bill language. 4, you have the minority right to place that in there. There's a reason that we've gone to this, quote, competitive pilot. As the members know, we've had 5 hearings on how to enhance the revenue processes. And Unisys, who has the contract within Ohio, we recognize that we've made a level of investment as we build now a competitive model so we can have a value-based decision out there in the future. And it might come down to one of these cost comparison analysis of a banana and an apple. They're not going to be the same. And let's try to forecast. Let's say that that the VA makes a decision to go with a model of revenue enhancement very similar to what we're presently marking up. Well, it'll be very different from what has been created in Ohio. We don't want to be redundant. We don't want to have cost expenditures. And if that vision is working well, leave it alone. So I think what you've done here, Mr. Strickland and Mr. Villarakis and your leadership along with staff, is given us a very good product for the VA to work toward. And I don't have any objections with regard to going in further understanding with regard to three. But at this point, I have no objections in accepting one and two in report.
Yes, and just to comment three, Mr. Villarakis pointed out to us that we did not want to put language in here that would protect an abusive or an incompetent staff person. So all we're asking is that we make sure that the language is clear so that if there is a need to terminate an employee for just cause, that employee would not be protected by anything that we may have inserted in this bill. So with the chairman's...
Well, I think you're... Yeah. You have the time, Mr.
Did Mr. Villarakis want to speak? I'm sorry.
Not yet. Continue.
Oh okay.
Would you yield for a question, Mrs. Strickland?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was coming from that side. Yes, of course.
Was there a hearing on this particular section in your committee?
We had no informational hearing.
I mean, it seems to me that some of these problems might have been worked out had we had a hearing and discussion in a way that the markup was very quick. We only got language yesterday, I think, on this section. So I'm disappointed there was no hearing on this.
Yeah, I think I am too. And as the chairman of our subcommittee indicated initially, certainly he was not particularly happy with the process. I wish there had been an informational hearing. There was not, but...
Mr. Strickland, gentlemen, yield.
I will yield.
The O&I subcommittee has had a four-year history also working with the minority staff on the whole issue of revenue enhancement, and we've worked cooperatively in a bipartisan fashion to do this, and so there is a long legislative history on how to make these improvements within the business processes. I yield back to the gentleman.
And Mr. Chairman, I understand that because the staff has told me that they've worked across the years in a bipartisan manner, but I do think that there was significant disappointment on the part of our staff that we moved as quickly as we did without an informational hearing. I reiterate what I said earlier about Mr. Villarakis and his willingness, even after the subcommittee dealt with this matter, to make sure the staffs got together and work through the major concerns that we had. But this is a special kind of committee. I think we all understand that, and the staffs are incredibly knowledgeable. I will admit they're more knowledgeable about these matters than I, as a relatively new member of this committee. And I think it's important that they be given every opportunity to have whatever time they need and to work together to make sure that whatever problems or concerns may be there are resolved in a professional and a timely manner. I just, having said that, I know over the last few hours the staffs have worked diligently, and I appreciate the fact that they've made that effort to do so. And I yield back, sir.
I'd like to thank the chairman and the ranking member, along with your staff, Mr. Sistic and Mr. Wu. It's an excellent example of how we work in a bipartisan fashion, even when it gets hard and difficult and banged it out, and I respect you for it. I now recognize the ranking member of the full committee, Mr. Evans, to explain Section 6 of the amendment, the nature of a substitute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I'd like to ask my staff, Linda Bennett, to explain Section 6 of the bill.
Without objection.
Section 6 permanently authorizes the six VA Parkinson's Disease Research Education and Clinical Care Centers, subject to appropriation dollars. This provision is supported by the American Legion, the Disabled American Veterans, and Parkinson's Action Network. We've asked an informal cost estimate from CBO, and they've said it would score as zero. It's a no cost. And we have recently asked for VA for their formal views, but they have not been gotten back to us because it was just recently that we requested that.
Mr. Evans.
Mr. Evans yields back his time. I now recognize the chairman of the Health Subcommittee, Mr. Brown, for any remarks he may have on Section 6 of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the chairman of the Health Subcommittee, I would like to lend my thanks to you and Mr. Evans for introducing this bill. In my judgment, this section of the bill goes a long way towards ensuring that the new and innovative approaches are taken inside the VA in order to both understand and treat Parkinson's disease. I support the measure, Mr. Chairman, and again, I thank you and the ranking member for inclusion in the package here before us. Thank you.
Gentlemen, yield back this time.
Yield back.
Now recognize ranking member Mr. Michaud for any comments he may have. He's the ranking member on health and remarks regarding Section 6 of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, support the inclusion of Section 6 of the bill. This is a VA has currently treated 42,000 veterans who have this progressive disorder. By authorizing these centers, this committee is making sure that the VA remains a world-class in their treatment for research in Parkinson and treatment. In just a brief time, these six Parkinson centers will have put VA in the forefront of landmark clinical work to combat and treat these disease. VA Parkinson centers are also the backbone of a network of nearly 200 VA clinicians who provide veterans across the nation with expert medical care. And I support this section, and I yield back the balance of my time.
Thank the chairman, the ranking members of the Health Subcommittee. I now recognize other members for discussion of the amendment in the nature of substitute, sections 1 through 6 of the bill. Bellner, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for briefly, first, in Mr. Belarakis' opening statement, he said we all voted for
all voted for the appropriation
bill. The appropriations. I did not. One, I could not be in the chamber that day, but I inserted a statement in the record. I would have voted no had I been there because of the it was underfunding the veterans by $3 billion. I just want to correct that for the record. I did not vote for that. In fact, would have voted no had I been present, and that was so indicated in the congressional record. Secondly, the lack of hearings and the fact I understand what Mr. Bouyer was saying about everybody working together, but the bill did not come to that committee until the night before the actual markup. We didn't see the final thing till this morning, I guess, or last night. So I don't like everybody calls for regular order over there, but I didn't see that in this thing. So, Mr. Chairman, I ask for a division of the question so we may vote on Section 5 separately.
The Mr. Chairman, if would the gentleman yield maybe before
yes,
you go
certainly.
To the division? Bob, yeah, there's I think the vote was 425-1 on that appropriation bill. Mr. Stark was the only one that voted against it. So forgive me the folly of assuming that you were one of that 420.
No, I would have been 422.
Apparently you weren't, and I apologize for that. I wasn't aware of it, though. Yeah, regular order, I mean, would ordinarily, I mean, even though we've had five hearings on this over a period of time, and I just don't recall really any member of the committee over a period of time. Ms. Hooley, we've gone over some of the testimony that took place, some of the questions that you asked on that subcommittee and that sort of thing. I don't recall that anybody was really satisfied that the third-party collection was taking place adequately.
No, I agree with you.
The thing that's happened here, of course, is the Appropriations Committee doing what they did. And rather than let, I mean, that became, you know, once it becomes signed, it becomes law. And what we want to do is get this thing started on the right track.
Exactly.
I would ordinarily have preferred that we've had go through the regular order, which is maybe a hearing, even though so many others have taken place. But appropriations jump-started us.
But we still have time. That has not been passed by the Senate, I don't think. And so we have time to do this right. And I think we should have a separate vote on it, a separate discussion. I have more to say.
All right, I don't quarrel with that. I just wanted to explain.
And ask for such a division, Mr. Chairman. Would you like some parliamentary advice?
Well, I believe that the request must be in writing, number one, and I could ask for a majority of support of the division of the question. I don't know if any of that's really even necessary because we have an excellent work product that's been worked out here. So I really don't understand the purpose of the division.
I want a separate vote. What you have done, Mr. Chairman, what you have done is you put on a must-pass bill, which is the COLA, and we all agree with that. You put on some more controversial items, which, without going through regular order, which I object to, and I want to have a separate vote on that section. A division of the question is always in order and does not require a vote, and is granted on the request of a member of the committee. And I'll insist.
Are there any other discussions?
I want to know: are we having a separate vote on Section 5?
I'm thinking about it.
Well,
are there
I'll
any? Other
I'll ask for a vote on the chairman's ruling. Then, I mean, I don't. Have you ruled on whether I asked for a division of the question?
I would say to the gentleman that there is a point in time when you can make such a request,
which is right now.
We're not voting on anything.
Yes, you put before us the amendment in the nature of a substitute for discussion, and I asked
for discussion.
And I asked for a division of the question.
It's not put before the members for vote. It's put for the members for open discussion on sections 1 through 6, Mr. Filner.
And it is appropriate at this time.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
Because next we will move to amendments.
So then I can offer ask for the division of the question at that point?
No.
Why not? Oh, so then it'll be too late?
It's not timely.
When will it be timely?
I will preserve the member's right to offer his motion.
All right. I thank the chair. And further discussion then.
Yeah.
We have, in the other hearings that we've had before this year, we have had, we've certainly all agree, the third-party collections, as Mr. Bilirakis stated, is an absolute necessity that we come to grip of. We are losing millions and millions of dollars. We all know that. The question is, how do we do this? How do we do it in the right way? And a demonstration project doesn't sound on its surface to be a problem. I don't understand how the $10 million got there. We have had testimony from various vendors who have said that, and we are, in fact, they are operating in some of the visions now, that they could collect these third party, they will collect it with no charge to the VA. They will take a commission on the collections, but without any upfront cost from the VA. So I don't know what this $10 million is for. When we've had, we have proposals that would be no cost. And again, we should hear from them in a regular order. That is, we have not had a hearing this year. We have not seen this bill before last night. There are problems with it that the minority staff and Mr. Strickland have outlined. And we ought to go at it regular order. And there are problems with that section. And I would like to see a separate vote on it. Thank you.
Any other discussions on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, would the gentleman yield? What percent would they?
Mr. Brown, you're recognized on your own time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I was just going to ask Mr. Filner a question, if that's okay, Mr.
I would
Filner.
Yield to the gentleman for a question.
Okay. If they would contract the collection, what surcharge would they add to that?
Well, obviously a negotiated thing, but that's the point of having a hearing, to hit these different ways of doing it out. I think they're charging, and maybe the staff, somewhere in the neighborhood of 30%, 25%, somewhere in that area. And I don't know if that's too high or too low. I frankly don't know. When compared with a $10 million for somebody to set up a system without, and that's not collection, by the way.
Right, I understand.
That is not collection. That's setting up a
system.
That's
the process.
To decide on a collection.
That's right.
I'm not sure. There are people already have such a process. They've done this successfully, not only in the VA system, but in other agencies or other, in the private sector around the country. Why are we inventing the wheel? Especially on this must-pass legislation. That's my real problem.
Okay. I thank the gentleman.
Any other discussion on the bill? Are there any amendments with regard to the amendment in the nature of a substitute?
Mr. Chairman, I would make an amendment if you did not give me division of the question. But I know Ms. Berkley had an amendment. Maybe we'll take hers first, and then I'll get to mine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Filner.
I have an amendment at the desk. Under legislation passed last year, surviving spouses with children under age 18 receive an additional $250 per month for the first 2 years of their eligibility for DIC benefits. My amendment will include this additional benefit with all of the other cost of living adjustments made for fiscal year 2006. Passage of this amendment will protect all eligible surviving spouses from losing the purchasing power of this benefit due to rising inflation. I want to thank Mr. Michaud, the ranking member of the Health Subcommittee, for bringing the need for this provision to my attention. In addition, my amendment makes a technical correction to the current law. The technical correction will redesignate the provision for the transitional benefit as subsection F of section 1311 of Title 38. I urge all members to support the amendment so that our Gold Star wives will not lose the value of this transitional benefit due to the passage of time and inflation. And I yield back. Or not.
The gentleman yield back. Are there any questions with regard to the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, would the lady, gentlelady yield for a question? Ms. Berkley, how much would the fiscal impact be on that particular amendment? Yes, ma'am. Sure.
I need a process right on how I do.
According to the informal estimate that we have for CBO for this coming 2006 budget, the financial impact would be about $105,000. So it's below the PAYGO limit for next year. It would rise to about $1 million over 1 and $2 million over over 10.
And how many would the ladies would be impacted?
I think we're talking, because it's only a two-year benefit, they're estimating, I think, somewhere around 1,200 per year. It would not be the same 1,200 over the time period, but right now they're estimating about 1,200.
And the PAYGO requirements wouldn't require us to have an offset.
It would not require an offset for next year because there's a threshold of 500,000.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Berkley.
Are there any further discussions on Ms. Berkley's amendment? Mr. Michaud?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support Ms. Berkley's amendment. It's a common sense provision that will ensure that the action we took to improve the DIC benefits provided to surviving spouse with children does not lose its value over time. I think these families have suffered a great deal for our country. At least we can do is make sure that the small benefits that we do provide them keeps its value over time. So. I do support Ms. Berkley's amendment. I yield back the balance of my time.
Any other discussion on the amendment? The question is on adoption of Ms. Berkley's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The amendment is adopted. Are there any further amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Does the gentleman have an amendment?
Mr. Chairman,
does the gentleman have an amendment?
I have a demand that is in order at any time at this moment. I demand a division of the question.
Okay.
And
ask the gentleman, this would be, we can make this really easy by if the gentleman would have a motion to strike Section 5.
No, I demand, and I will read you from the Parliamentary House things, for division of the questions does not require unanimous consent and no motion is made. It is a right to every member to demand a division of the question, and I insist on that.
We'll move at this time. A vote on sections 1 through 4, granting the gentleman's request. The question is on adopting the amendments in the nature of substitute for sections 1 through 4 of the bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The gentleman's correct. Take back your aye. I'll restate this. The question is on adopting the amendment in the nature of substitute for sections 1 through 4 and section 6. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The amendments of 1 through 4 and amendment 6 pass. The question is on adopting the amendment, the nature of substitute, section 5. All those in favor say
I have some,
aye.
I have further discussion, Mr. Chairman. Now that we are on section 5.
I'll withhold the vote.
I think Mr. Strickland and Mr. Bilirakis have shown incredible dignity, civility, and professionalism in the way they have tried to work out these issues. And Mr. Bilirakis, I do thank you personally. You saw the problems all, and you tried and you worked them out. And I understand the issue on the Appropriations Committee. I still believe, knowing all that, that this is an issue that we could have further hearings on. We have some time on this. It is not the kind of urgency for tomorrow, and we ought to do it right. I don't know where the $10 million is. I don't know that we need it. Again, we have vendors who have come to us separately into this committee explaining to us processes that will guarantee us third-party collections without any cost to the VA, and I think we ought to explore those. And I would ask for a tabling of Section 5 until we have those kind of hearings.
Mr. Brown.
Just a parliament inquiry, if the gentleman would maybe he might have an answer, somebody else might have an answer. And I believe Mr. Bilirakis stated that the $10 million was in the appropriation bill that's already been passed. Was any instructional language driving the same process that we're trying to accomplish today?
Not, to my knowledge, not in regards to the $10 million. There is report language that has been discussed and whatnot, but not regarding the $10 million.
Then my question would be, if in effect item was stricken, what would happen to the process then for the second vendor?
Well, as I understand it, it's a competition type of a thing. We're dissatisfied with the progress of the collections. Ulysses has been contracted with to run a demonstration project in Cleveland. And by the way, this would not conflict with that in any way whatsoever. We made that clear right off the bat.
I want to thank you for that, Mr. Chairman.
We've all heard process, as Mr. Fielder's mentioned, that potential vendors have come by and said that we've got a process that can really expedite this and do a much better job, and it's not taking place and whatnot. So basically the feeling is that we should take another look at another process. And so what you're going to be doing is the VA is going to be contracting. They'll be doing the collecting will be done by the VA, but the process will be determined by another vendor. And that's what this demonstration is all about. Now, I would be lying to you if I told you I know exactly where the $10 million has come from or whatever the case may be. Staff has been talking, as have been some members, with some of these vendors. And I think that we can ask Mr. Wu where $10 million came from, I guess the result of those discussions.
Mr. Brown, you have any further?
No, you back, Mr. Chair.
I have a prep. I'm sorry.
Yes, I just have a question on the $10 million. It's not where it came from. Who is going to get this $10 million?
It goes to the business office within the VA to manage the contract over the 2 years. There will be additional costs incurred by VA employees to do the oversight over a second pilot. Mm-hmm. And they have provided these monies are going to the VA to provide those upfront costs and oversight.
And I'm not sure who has the time, Mr. Chairman, but if I may compliment the chairman's comments here. The Appropriations Committee came up with $10 billion. There now is going to be
But that would...
Hold on. Time out. Let's don't blame the Appropriations Committee. This came from this committee. We've invested about 4 years in trying to improve the revenue enhancement cycle in a cooperative fashion over 5 hearings. And we have an existing a pilot program right now in Ohio. The contractor is Unisys, and we're moving to a second competitive pilot. This is a very big issue with regard to how we improve the stream, not necessarily just on the back end, but through the entire revenue cycle, at the front, in the middle, in the coding.
And that particular contract, as I understand it, was a fixed-price contract. And I guess the amount of money is sort of a disagreement here as to terms what the amount of money is. I've heard as much as the fixed-price contract was started out at $130 million, and it's now doubled. They've gone past the particular date, things of that nature. We're concerned about all that. And the report language in the appropriation bill did not go set out criteria, performance-based, things of that nature. So we wanted to make sure that whatever we do here is going to be performance-based, and we would set out criteria to determine that that performance has taken place on a timely basis and on the basis that we would expect. So that's what this is basically all about.
We also want to establish our relevancy as an authorizing committee. If we took no action on Section 5 of the bill, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be done. The nice thing here is that we've made very good improvements. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate Mr. Strickland's leadership, Mr. Villarakis, Mr. Wu,
Mr. Chairman, I just, on this particular provision, when the bill came to the floor, why did this committee not call for a point of order on that point? Because it is our responsibility to authorize, and they are to fund. I mean, was that not our?
Because I like what they're doing. we support what they're doing. Often, you know, we work cooperatively with appropriators. Sometimes they get in front of us, and the authorizers have to come back. You name the issue. We do that here in Congress.
Would the gentlelady yield?
May I?
Oh, goodness. Mr. Chairman, probably what should have happened, Mr. Villarakis, we should have had a hearing on this provision, and then we would not have been working this out in the committee. And I'll yield to Mr. Finley.
Yeah, I thank
Mr.
the gentlelady. Mr. Chairman, the comments about us losing control, this is ridiculous. We can have a hearing next week. We can write a bill the week after. The Senate has not acted. There's no appropriations made yet. Well, you said it was our stuff in there anyway. We have control over this. It's a way that we ought to operate better. And if I would move, Mr. Chairman, that we recommit Section 5.
First, you asked for a division.
Right now, we have separated Section 5, and now I ask to recommit Section 5 to the committee.
All right. I think you're having fun over here with a book, and you're trying.
I'm not having fun, Mr. Chairman. You're having fun with a must-pass bill, and you're sticking stuff on here that we ought to have a discussion of it.
A motion is before the committee. A motion to recommit Section 5. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. No. The noes have it. The question is on adopting the amendment. Nature substitute will vote on Section 5 of the bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The amendment is adopted. I now recognize Mr. Evans for a motion on H.R. 1220 as amended.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that H.R. 1220 as amended be ordered favorably reported to the House.
The question is on a motion by Mr. Evans to favorably report 1220 as amended to the House. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. The motion is carried. Without objection, the committee staff is authorized to make necessary technical and conforming changes to the amended bill. Any members who wish to co-sponsor the bill may call Deb Collier, who is our new legislative coordinator for the full committee staff. Before adjourning, I would want to remind members that we reconvene the full committee for hearing on the health budget modeling and forecasting in just a few minutes. And also, let me pause. Let me thank Mr. Bilirakis, Mr. Strickland, for your work on this bill. Let me thank Mr. Evans for his work, and also the staff. No further business. This meeting is adjourned.